Welcome to the Skirted Roundtable. This is Linda Merrill from Surroundings.
This is Megan Arquette from Beach Bungalow 8. And this is Joni Webb from Cote to Texas.
And we're going to be talking today about way to start blogging and subjects related to that. So, Joni, why don't you start?
Well, I think mine is probably typical of everyone. I accidentally and can't remember how, why, or when I discovered either the Peak of Chic or Style Court and discovered the world of design blogging. And that was about, in May, that would be 2 years. And I just went nuts for about 2 weeks. And the minute I started reading blogs, I thought, you know what, I want to do this. And I'm going to do this. So I had my little blog, and nobody, I only told my best friend, and she was the only person that read it for a couple of weeks.
You told me about it, though. I didn't even know you, and I think you emailed me, didn't you?
Well, not in the very beginning.
Oh, okay.
No, I read you, that was in July, because I was at the beach.
Oh, that's
and
right.
I started in May. And so for a couple of weeks, there was just, you know, me writing for myself and my best friend, and then actually Rhonda from All the Best discovered me because of my name. She was from Texas, and you know, she was like, "Oh, you like Brenda? Oh, you like Pam Pearson?" You know, all the decorators from Houston that she liked, that I liked, and we had a connection immediately. And Rhonda had been blogging for about 6 or 8 months before me. She had a big following, and she wrote about my blog, and that's really how it took off. So I have it all to thank for Rhonda.
Mine started because I was at my best friend's 40th birthday party in San Francisco. And another friend of ours was there, and I was asking her what she was up to, and this is the whole group that they're all advertising, you know, design junkies. And she said, "Oh, I just started a design blog. It's called SF Girl by Day. And go check it out." So I checked it out, and I fell in love with it. It was great. It was all the kind of stuff I like, all the visual treats, and I loved how image-heavy it was. Prior to that, I had Apartment Therapy had found pictures of my house on Flickr, the photo, you know, distributor. And they asked if they could do a tour, so I took some more pictures. They posted it. I got great
comments. Yeah, I never knew that.
Yeah, and it was so great. I don't know, it was the first time I had ever had all the public sort of nice comments. I was like, wow, really? Oh, it's just my little house. So, of course, you know, stroking the ego, I was like, cool.
Right.
And then, so I looked at Victoria's blog and really loved it, and I thought, wow, Apartment Therapy seems so much bigger to me, but the way she was doing it seemed more personal. And then, probably a month or so later, she was going out of town and asked if I would like to guest blog. So she just said, do whatever you want, however, you know, however many words, whatever you want to do it on. So I did about 2 or 3 for her, and they were like 400 words. They were so wordy. Like, give me the mic and I'll take off. And so I got such a charge out of it. It was so much fun doing it. I thought, why? And I think she encouraged me. She's like, you should.
And that was before you were writing your blog?
Yeah.
Okay.
And like within the same week of me cranking out a couple of these posts for her, for some reason, Holly Becker, she introduced me, I think, to Holly Becker, because Holly Becker, who is Decorate, had pretty much just started, and she was a Boston girl, Linda, she's up there with you.
Yeah.
She got a hold of it and said, you know, I like what you're doing. Let me make you Blogger of the Week. Like, wow, okay. So back to what you were saying, Joni, it's amazing what we can do for each other. And because, as far as I can see it, none of us are in competition. And if you can encourage somebody who really has a good writing style, they have great ideas, they're doing something novel, it's it just brings more, another fun person to the party. Like, we want them here.
Right. So I started actually a little bit differently in that I started in 2005. But
yeah, you've been doing it forever.
I've been doing it a long time, but in 2005 I only had 24 posts because I started doing it because I thought of it as, a marketing tool for my design business. Design Sponge was just starting up, and so I wasn't really reading them. I had just heard that blogs were kind of the newest thing after doing your company newsletter was people started saying, newsletters are going out. It's going to be all about the blogs. And then I also thought of it as a great way to keep, when you're in business, you start getting all these marketing materials from vendors and sources, and how do you keep track of them? And so I thought, well, if I have a blog, then anybody who's certainly got a website, I can keep track of things I like on the blog, and then maybe it'll also establish a certain level of expertise for me, and we'll see where it goes. And I piddled around with it for a year. I mean, I went months without between posts. I wasn't really doing a lot. I don't know if it was the Wall Street Journal or one of the New York newspapers did a piece on bloggers and the upcoming strength and power of the blogger, and Grace Bonney of Design Sponge was profiled. And I'm like, here's this girl who's in her early 20s and she's suddenly getting this big publicity. And I'm like, there really is something here. And then I started following the reality TV Project Runway bloggers. And that made me realize that I could sort of step in doing when they announced Top Design. The first season, that was sort of a place that I could kind of step into. So I kind of came into design blogging through the fashion blogs. And
How many blogs do you have, though?
Three. But Surroundings is my main one, then I have the movie one, and then I've got the Decorating for Bachelors, which is my, sort of redheaded, left-handed stepchild that hardly gets any attention.
Let's not talk about redheads, yeah.
Well, I'm one too, so.
Mine's all fake.
Well, mine's semi-fake. My fake redheaded left-handed stepchild. So I've sort of spun those off, but, Surroundings is my main one.
Yeah.
And then, so it really wasn't until 2007 that I started to really take the blogging thing very seriously and doing it.
I'm curious because when I found your blog, yours was so professional, and I thought there was like a company behind Surroundings. I didn't realize it was just one person, I think, in the very beginning. I don't know why.
Probably because I'd been doing it for a couple of years when nobody was looking. Thank you. One thing I think is interesting is the whole sort of, and maybe that's something we can talk about, is the blog etiquette. Because when I started blogging, this whole thing of, and commenting, and then sending thank you notes for comments, none of that was happening. And I had no idea people actually did do that. So I never did it.
Uh-huh.
And then all of a sudden, Joni, I think you sent me a comment, an email. And something occurred to me, are people actually emailing people who are commenting?
I didn't know that either. Joni taught me that.
Yeah.
I was like, what? Well, that makes sense. It
totally makes sense. Yeah. And it really established.
I didn't know that either, though.
Yeah.
I don't think until recently that was something that you just did. And then you reach a certain level where it becomes impossible to do.
Some blogs that don't always respond, you sort of feel like, well, God, I don't want to comment because I feel like they think that, they're getting hundreds a day. Why do they need my comment? But when you get a personal response like that, it's nice.
Yeah.
Well, another thing for me where it started at, I get my comments, email, and I just liked responding through the email rather than going back to the blog and responding through the comments.
Yeah, but you still had to go and find that some of the people who don't, their email address doesn't come via their comment, because not everyone does. You have to, research.
Well, those people, they don't get a thank you.
Oh, okay.
They just don't. And I've tried to say that on my blog, if you want a response, you have to leave
your email.
An address.
Yeah.
You register your name, And then sometimes, if someone, I have commenters that are anonymous, basically they're not registered. When people ask me all the time, new bloggers, for some reason they will email me, how do I get traffic?
comment.
And see, when I started, I thought I shouldn't comment because all I was doing was looking like I was trying to attract attention to me.
Me too.
And that's why I didn't comment for a long time.
How else are you going to get readers?
I know. Well, I know that now. Because there were bloggers who would go through a period of time where they would always list their URL. Not only were they linked through their blogger, ID, but they were also putting in their URL in their comment, and I never liked that.
When new bloggers will email me for advice on how to get noticed, along with comment, is there's a degree, and they're it's the real world. There's manners, and you don't want to be obnoxious about it. It's a fine line between comment.
Here's where I don't mind it, is when someone leaves a comment and it truly is a comment that, they've read the content of the post. It's a true thought rather than great post. And then, it's like,
well, I am guilty of that, so I do that.
I would have called you out. I would have emailed you and said, hey, don't leave me that.
But I do. I mean, I can't. I am so guilty. I feel so guilty if I read a blog and I don't leave a comment that, yes, I was here and I read it and I appreciate it.
Be a little bit more forthcoming about myself personally. I notice I get a lot more comments. I feel that people are a lot more, receptive, to the blog rather than when I just do quick quips. And
I want to comment on that. You are so right. You are so right. The post of mine that get the most commenting is something that is personal. Mm-hmm. A story about, my husband, or I just remodeled. I bought a new pillow,
Your new coffee
table.
The
commenting will go through the roof. It's amazing. People love the personal aspect of blogging. I recently discovered a fabulous new blog, and the information on it, I don't want to say, but the information on it was extensive, real. It was very helpful. It was truly one of the better informative blogs I'd read, and there was nothing personal about it at all. Nothing.
Oh, really?
It could have been written by a robot. And I talked to her, and I said, you've got to try to bring some personality into this because your blog is fabulous. Mm-hmm. Because it really does make a tremendous
And it's
difference.
Hard. Here's what I think. It's really hard. When I put stuff up about my wedding last year, I got a lot of comments and a lot of people were really following along. That was the first time I really brought my personal life into it. And boy, my numbers were through the roof and people really responded and left messages and comments and emailed me. But with it came a lot of really cutting remarks because I put myself out there publicly. And I don't always, I'm not always in that mood. I really am not,
Yeah.
So it's hard to do.
Have you done that? You did with your father.
I did
with your father died.
Yeah, I did with my father.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I would say, it's funny when you said about when you first saw my blog, it seemed really professional and you didn't realize it was just one person. I think one of my problems with my blog is that it's been a little removed. I have that sort of Yankee separateness. And while I feel like sometimes I do talk about myself, where I've been, what I've done, pictures of myself, real emotion I sort of keep that separate. So I did do it with my father. But, because it's my forum and it was something I could put out there. But
did you notice the big change that we're talking about when you blogged from that perspective?
No. Interesting.
Well, I think Linda's different than us because she's so established.
Uh-huh. Yeah, because there's an authority that goes along with it.
Yeah.
I think I've been around a long time, but I'm not established. Because I don't get the comments, Joni, that you get anywhere near.
I have to say this. Let me pop in here. From what I see, and from measuring my close blogger friends like Joni and a few others, when we've actually, as I say, shown each other our underwear, meaning we've shown each other our stats or talked about it.
Yeah.
What I've noticed, because I think it's such a personal thing, what I've noticed though is that Joni gets a huge amount, like more comments than most any design blog I've seen.
I don't understand it. Yeah,
I'm still trying to. I mean, I think it's who you're being on your blog. But what I really believe. believe is that I don't believe that the comments are equal to your traffic.
On some blogs, it becomes more actually interesting than the post, i.e. DePorno, where DePorno will put a picture up and say,
discuss.
So the actual blog experience is through
the comments. Yeah.
Which is, I think, what Courtney Barnes, Style Court, initially, that was why she called it a court. I think I read somewhere where she wrote that that was what her intention was. She wanted to bring, here are some issues, here are, discuss, and she wanted it to become a court to discuss style. But the thing with Courtney is that what overrode that was her incredible vast knowledge. I mean, the girl is an encyclopedia. I've never, I mean, you can ask her anything, and I swear, within lightning speed, she gives you your answer, and you're like,
she's a great researcher, too.
She just knows, and I think that she didn't give herself enough credit that she knows far more than the majority, probably far more than most editors of a magazine.
And so the readers...
She is writing now. She writes a column every month for Southern Accent. And you know, it would be on Silver and Silver March, which is a world I have never known. And you know, she just knows.
This is the Skirted Roundtable, and this is Linda Merrill from Surroundings.
And this is Megan Arquette with Beach Bungalow 8.
And Joni Webb from Cozy, Texas.
And today we're going to be talking about trends in design. What we think of as trends, and are things trendy, or are they so classic that they're always in style?
That they keep making a comeback because they're actually good stuff.
Right, right.
And is it wrong to use trendy things because they go out of style? You know, I get that question all the time. That
should I, just classic?
Should I not put stainless steel appliances in my kitchen because it's so in now, when is it going to be out? Everything is out in 10 years.
Right.
I mean, I think everything dates in 10 years. If you go back and look at a design magazine from the 90s, you'd be shocked at the difference from today to what we think of as just yesterday. But there's a very obvious shift within 10 years' time, and everything dates.
But they're all, but what makes something trendy and what makes it just good taste and so it keeps being brought up?
Well, I think the problem is the magazines and right now, and they'll promote something to death.
Yeah.
I think the catalogs do that personally, and then they keep tasting.
It's all marketing, you know, today.
Well, I think if it's a newish product, yes, it's marketing. I think if there's something that's been around, like, you know, like Twell, where it's certainly been around for hundreds of years, and then comes and goes, and then, you know, a few years ago, everything was Twell, from file folders to pocketbooks to shoes.
Remember in the 90s, I can remember Colleen everything. Do you remember that? We had a pair of, like, flat mules that had Colleen across the front, and people were doing Colleen pillows on their sofas and Colleen rugs, and Pottery Barn did a line of Colleen.
Well, Colleen is very big in Texas. So Colleen in Texas is something that never goes out of style.
So you think it's kind of a regional thing in some way?
Yeah.
You know, because of the ranch houses here, you know.
And then I think ECAT right now is, you know, we're seeing it on a lot of different things, not just home decorating.
Right.
Because it kind of feeds into each other. Fashion and interior design are really so, you know, hand in hand.
Right.
They sort of dictate each other, and they go back and forth, whether it's a color trend palette. I mean, who is a Pantone is always coming up with, you know, that every year they have, this is the color to, like this year it was lemon yellow.
Right.
And I think they were a little off because a couple of years ago I think everyone was in fashion was throwing lemon yellow in, you know, and now I don't know, maybe is it going into interior design?
I think it is in interior design because I've seen it in individual products, but I think those are products that they knew it was coming. So they put out a bunch of products based on it, the lemon yellow. But I'm not sure we're seeing it actually translate into people wanting that.
Well, because the market probably didn't want lemon yellow.
Right, it's too much.
They just didn't know. So they were off. on that one. That one was, you know, but aqua. I mean, let's talk about aqua. Talk about, you couldn't find a fabric 5 years ago. Couldn't find a fabric in that coloring. They just, it wasn't a colorway. Lilac is another one, but aqua really
got hot. Well,
really took off. That was a good forecasting trend, and it worked, and people loved it. And now every fabric comes in an aqua.
And I think especially because it works so well with brown, and brown became such a popular neutral.
Oh, and that color pairing, which I'm going to make this remark, and people can say no to, but that color pairing of pale blue and chocolate brown, so trendy and so tired.
It's very tired now.
I'm so tired of seeing that on everything.
Although Candace Olsen just released a whole new product line for Kravit, and it's all pale blues and browns.
Well, I think people liked it.
Yeah, people did love it.
Yeah, it's pretty. But Kravit is marketing to the masses, and the masses is the target and the, you know, Pottery Barn.
You know what's funny? Along that line, I was with a group of friends who have nothing to do with anything in the creative world. They're all brilliant business people. And somebody had bought from Pottery Barn, this was last summer, had bought a bunch of their John Robshaw knockoff stuff that was the kind of ethnic, you know, Icot, whatever, Suzani sort of look. And they asked me, they go, what do you think? It was all in their guest room. I go, I think that this is, when you take it to the Pottery Barn level and you mass do it, like, you know, you do it in such a mass production and you don't, and these people who are mass producing aren't really paying attention to subtle elements like color hues and that sort of thing. I'm going on and on. And this friend of mine looked at me and she goes, I don't know any of that. And I have never seen it before. And red is red is red to me. And, you know, she just looked at me like, oh, God, you're boring me. She's like, bottom line is, I liked it and it was affordable and I've never seen anything quite like it. And
right.
You've never seen anything like it. Are you kidding me? And she's like, I don't read the magazine.
Right, if you're not clued in.
You know,
Right, exactly. The masses don't read every design magazine, so they're not saturated by Suzani. They see it at Pottery Barn and they like it and they buy it. You know, now we're sick of it, you know, but...
Right, and they're looking at Tory Burch's lines and they're going, well, Tory Burch is now doing, you know, this, and it's sort of like, well, we're all so crazy obsessed with it, and this is our lives, so we sit there and eat every little bit of it we can get.
Right.
So to us, what could be so trendy that it's out, to the whole mass, the rest of the world, who really can't be bothered by these things, you know, are just taking what's being easily said to them. So they walk into the Tory Barn, and it's in the price point, and, oh, look, I've never seen anything quite like this. And, you know, and then at this point, we're all going, oh, God, move on to the next thing.
And also,
but I don't think... Go ahead.
I was just going to say, I think also, you know, going to something like a Pottery Barn, once it gets there, it's you know, been, for lack of a better term, dumbed down for the masses. And I don't mean that in a derogatory way, but just, you know, it's been made because Pottery Barn's job is to sell to as many people as they can, you know, is to make it as palatable for everybody. And I think most decorators have experienced people saying, oh, I just love everything in Pottery Barn. If you can give me that look. You know, and it's like, well, then, you know, pick out your catalog, pick out a page that you like, and order the page. You don't need me.
Yeah.
So awesome. But I do like that. I think it definitely has a place. In fact, I'm going to be doing a blog about it. I think that, wouldn't you rather have a page out of Pottery Barn than just junk that you've accumulated?
Well, the nice thing about Pottery Barn is that they've got a team of art directors, set directors, and, you know, people who, this is their whole job for a good 6 months. They sat down, they regurgitated it, and then on top of that, they have great photographers, they have great photo shoots, so it's all there for you. So it's like a personal style is going out and buying for you. The only problem I have is when people go there and just buy the full set.
Right.
The reason I think that's fine, that's the look you want, but you certainly walk into a room like that, and it is just drop dead as far as feeling like it has any warmth, any soul, and it looks cheap altogether. I think what the key is getting pieces, because not everyone can afford, you know, hitting or has the time or the resources to hit, you know, design showrooms or wonderful antique stores. So the key is to get bring in pieces that do have personality, that do mean something to the person that lives there, and mixing it all in.
Right.
Right.
Speaking of trends, which is amazing, is if you look at a book, the book per se, like Francis Elkins, for example, and you open the pages of that book that was written, I don't know, in the 30s, and it looks current. And it's amazing.
Yeah.
Some of the pages, absolutely, you would move into that. Now, why? Because she used French antiques. They just don't date. I'm telling you, it doesn't date. She's beautiful Louis the, 13th chairs, which, you can buy today, and, those dining room I'm telling you, it was amazing to me to look and open that book and say, why does this look current? Because she used antiques. Antiques just don't date. Certain antiques. I mean, I'm not talking about Victorian and, but just the classic pieces.
If that's a style that you like, yes.
Yeah, I'm with you on that, Linda. Because my thing is, I personally, and that doesn't appeal to me necessarily, but I love the Francis Elkins Louis chair that she inspired. I should know my history on this before I start spouting off. But that is, that looks influenced, by a Louis chair, and then it's been modernized with the graphic design.
Right.
That's why right now, for instance, that chair is everywhere, and it's very current at work.
Well, when I get questions all the time from readers about, trendy things, and I always go back to that book, and it's like, do you want something that doesn't date? Buy classic shapes.
But speaking of trends, what about the Louis Ghost chair, the Philippe Starck?
That's a trend. I mean, that's...
Because you see it everywhere. Is that running the risk of what was originally a really witty kind of contemporary take on a very classic form? Is it now, because we see it everywhere because we are looking at everything.
In 5 years, someone that has a dining room table with, 8 ghost chairs, they're going to hate it. Well, don't you think they're going to hate it in 5 years?
I was just going to say, I think it'll look dated in 5 years, yes.
Yes, because too many people did it. But I think in 20 years, it's going to be like, oh, God, I remember those. That's kind of that funky
right.
thing from the 90s. I kind of like that because it has kind of a funny retro feel now.
Yeah.
There's that area of time where it becomes tired, and then it goes over into retro. Lucite. I mean, although Lucite's kind of come and gone, it's sort of always sat around. I've been in really grand homes in the 80s and 90s that, with superb, museum art in it. And there's always a piece of Lucite. And I used to remember it, like, in the 90s thinking about these houses. Why would they still have that Lucite coffee table?
Yeah.
That really is one of those things that if you just kind of hang on to it, I don't know where I'm going to go.
Right. It comes back in style eventually. Everything does come back,
But to go back, everything dates. And you can't tell a client when you're designing a house, and they say, I want it to last 30 years, and I want it to look good. And it's not going to happen.
And it's not going to happen, no. Because in the 70s, the avocado green was just the height of fabulousness.
Yes.
And now, they reintroduced it, but they called it something else, because if someone hears avocado green and harvest gold and burnt orange, we're all going to... But I've been saying for a while that I thought the stainless steel granite kitchens are going to be the harvest gold kitchens because they got so ubiquitous.
What is going to replace stainless appliances?
I got to tell you, here's what I truly believe is that, well, first of all, I love a white kitchen. I think they're beautiful. Subway tile, ad nauseum, bring it, soap stones, counters, bring it. I'm really tired, as beautiful as those white kitchens with the white sets with the, the utilitarian hanging pendant lights, they're beautiful. But I think we've seen enough of them. And so I actually, personally, did you see that Kristen Buckingham's house? She had a dark kitchen, and I'm starting to kind of feel like that's more interesting. Not better,
just more interesting.
And it feels good anymore now, because I'm tired of the white kitchen.
Yeah, but yeah, to bring wood into it. But answer me, what color, what appliance is going to take the place of stainless?
I think possibly stainless is, you know, I think white appliances in the right setting are black. Black. I personally prefer black to stainless.
Mm-hmm. I think dark gray, charcoal gray.
Yeah.
The nice in between. And you look at car trends, you know, the car trend right now, the car trend for people to buy, the most popular color is silver. And it's all about this sort of where we are in the world right now.
Yeah.
Hmm. So
but,
who knows? Maybe it's not.
You know, maybe stainless will be right there with stainless, white, and black appliances. And it's just that, you know, where it's going to be. It's
right, not as a choice, but not necessarily the only choice. And talking about stainless, we've come full circle in our conversation, and our time is just about out.
Okay.
So do you guys have any final thoughts on the subject of trends?
Yeah, my final thought is it all dates. Do what you buy what you like, and don't worry about it, because no matter what you buy, it's going to date in 10 years.
That's exactly what my friend was telling me. Really? I mean, to the rest of the world that has bigger things to do than be obsessed like I am with these details, I think buy what you like and live with what you love, and make your home your home.
I would agree that I think with some thought about buying what you like, because we've all seen homes where everybody liked all the individual pieces, but they don't hang together very well. But if you love it, you're always going to love it. And if you love it only because you think you've seen it everywhere else, so it must be good, that's the thing that's going to, you're going to turn around in a couple of years and think, what was I thinking? How do I sell it now? All right, so I think we're
it
done.
This
has been the Skirted Roundtable with Joni Webb from Cote de Texas, Megan Arquette from Beach Bungalow 8, and me, Linda Merrill, from Surroundings. Join us again soon.